Right, so our first reading is from Matthew 5, verses 43 to 48, and it's page 970 in the Bibles. You have heard what it was said, love your neighbours and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of the Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And the next reading is from Job 13, verses 13 to 26. Keep silent and let me speak, then let come to me what may. Why do I put myself in jeopardy and take my life in my hands? Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face. Indeed, this will turn out for my deliverance, for no godless man would dare come before him. Listen carefully to my words. Let your ears take in what I say. Now that I have prepared my case, I know I will be vindicated. Can anyone bring charges against me? If so, I will be silent and die. Only grant me these two things, O God, and then I will not hide from you. Withdraw your hand far from me and stop frightening me with your terrors. Then summon me and I will answer, or let me speak and you reply. How many things and sins... Have I gone wrong? No. Then summon me and I will answer, or let me speak and you reply. How many wrongs and sins have I committed? Show me my offence and my sin. Why do you hide your face and consider me your enemy? Will you torment a wild blown leaf? Will you chase after dry chaff? For you write down bitter things against me and make me inherit the sins of my youth. Amen.
Good morning. How are you all doing? Great. Right, so let's get set up. Just before I sort of tuck into what I sense God wanting to say through this theme of God's goodness, I wanted to share with you a verse that the Lord just put on my heart as we were worshipping just now, and it is this. So it's Psalm 18, and this is what it says. My God turns my darkness into light, and with your help I can advance against a troop. With my God I can scale a wall. Now the other translation, it says down here, if I can squint and read this, this is a sign of me getting older, isn't it? My eyesight's failing me, along with lots of other things, is it says, I can advance against a troop, or I can run through a barricade. And I just thought, as we begin, why don't we just take a moment to each one of us pray? You know, there's in the Old Testament, we read about this place where God broke through, and it's called Perazim. And so some people would refer to God as Jehovah Perazim, the God of breakthrough. So why don't we just pray, each one of us, for breakthrough? You know where you need breakthrough in your life. Let's ask God, that God who turns darkness into light, who stands with us, helps us advance against a troop, and scale a wall. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here this morning. And we ask that as we think now about your goodness, God, that you would come and lift our eyes to you. That we would believe and know that you are a God of breakthrough, a God of turnaround, a God of resurrection. A God who is for us and with us. And so, Spirit of the living God, make yourself known, Lord. Demonstrate your power in us and through us, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, it is a joy, as always, to be here. Thank you for having me. I don't know what would happen if you didn't want me to be here. You could all throw something at me now. That would work. A sponge. can I just thank you all sincerely, for those of you who Titch threw a sponge at me when I was, we had our One Family Sunday weekend. Thank you for those of you who cheered on your children to throw sponges at me. It was really good for my humility, so thank you, thank you. Now, I want this morning to talk about God's goodness. And as I was marching around a park this week praying, Lord, what do you want me to say? Just this clear sense that actually I felt God saying to me, along the lines of what you were saying, Leslie, just to be vulnerable. And for us to think about what does it mean for God to be good even during the tough times. And so I thought I'd just start with a few stories of what's gone on in parts of my life. And it's a testimony to God's goodness. And I'd start really at the beginning. Most of you, I think, or some of you know my story. I didn't grow up in a Christian family. Both my parents were alcoholics. It was a pretty dark, godless, grim place to grow up. My sister and I were sort of quite confused and lost, really. And by the time I got to 17 years old, I was searching for meaning in my life. I mean, I was desperate for some significance and meaning. And God reached out and saved me. And every day of my life, I will thank him for reaching out and gently holding me by the scruff of my neck and pulling me back from the brink and enveloping me in his loving arms. It's a miracle. And for each one of us, the ways in which God has drawn us close to him. But that often is sort of the focus when I share my testimony, and I don't talk about the other bits that have gone on since. And part of the miracle of God's goodness is what happened after that. In that what was a very broken relationship with my mother and father, God in his goodness allowed me over the years to see my parents as he sees them. And I just want to really lovingly encourage you and challenge you. If you're in a difficult relationship at the moment, ask God to reveal to you how he sees the other person. And it didn't happen overnight, but it was absolutely transformational that God in his goodness allowed me to see my parents for who they were, for the brokenness that they had in their own lives, that this alcohol was a mask for what was going on deep within them. And the burdens that they had been carrying and the things that they had gone through. And not only did God in his goodness help me to see that, but as I looked to Jesus and as I experienced his forgiveness and his mercy and grace in my life, I was able to then pour that out into my parents' lives and to forgive and to love them. And that too was God's goodness at work. Now, 17 years ago, my father was diagnosed with cancer, and he smoked like an absolute chimney. I had never seen anyone smoke as much as my old man. So it wasn't a surprise that he got cancer. But it was hard, nevertheless. And we decided we were going to care for him at home. So we literally nursed him at home. And what had been a very distant relationship with my father, humanly speaking, was completely transformed during that time in God's goodness. That as we cared for him, as we washed him, as I dressed him, as I carried him upstairs to bed every evening and carried him down in the morning, as I fed him, as I shaved his face. And I'm just one of the most intimate things you can do for someone, a man who you know, is to shave his face. And he stared back at me with these big brown eyes that God, in his goodness, gave us these weeks of intimacy. Of growing in relationship, of understanding what love really is. That in the midst of those difficult times, God's goodness and kindness was demonstrated through simple acts of love and generosity and kindness. That's God's goodness. My mother, and as some of you know this story, died this year, just on the 22nd of May. And I mean, she was a really tough character. And was addicted to alcohol right up until the very end. So I had been praying for my mother for 26 years. Some of you here have been praying for people you know and love for probably longer. But I pray for her for 26 years. Lord, would you break through in her life? Would you break through those harder outer shells? And every time I used to go and see her in the last few years of her life, I would pray with her. So, you know, praying out loud as I was standing alongside her. And I joked with her and everyone else that she would always cry when I prayed for her. And I used to say, Ma, I don't think my prayers are that bad. But she would have tears streaming down her face. And when we checked her into the hospice, she was still very addicted to alcohol. She would cry out for vodka and gin and whiskey and wine. I mean, a 77-year-old woman, addicted to alcohol all her adult life, still knocking back gin and vodka and wine and the rest. I mean, it was astounding. The people in the hospice said, we have never seen anything like this. How is she even alive today? But 2 weeks before she died, I walked into her room and she didn't cry out for vodka. She cried out for Jesus. 26 years I was praying for her and others around me. And she cried out for the Lord, and I had the privilege of leading her into the arms of our Father, to that place of forgiveness and grace and love. That, my friends, is God's goodness. That even through the tough times, he is good, and he reveals his goodness, but not always in the ways that we would want, not always in the time that we would want. And through my years in ministry, I have been in churches. I've sat with people who are in need in homes and hospitals and prisons. You know, I've stood with those who are bereaved. I've stood with those who are divorced and separated, those who are struggling with unemployment. I've sat with mass murderers in prison. I've sat with rapists in prison. I've sat with all manner of people in different situations. And you know what? I was thinking about this week. The one thread that goes through all my time in ministry and every encounter I have ever had with humanity on the face of this earth is God's goodness. It is God's goodness. In the darkest, most desperate, difficult situations that you and I can find ourselves in or stand with others in, it is God's goodness. Now, you may be here today and you may be suffering. You may be really up against it. You might be feeling like you are, you've reached the end of your own ability. And sometimes what I find is when people get to this place, we, and I can include myself in this, ask the question, where is God? What is God doing? Is it that I have done something wrong and that he is punishing me? And I want to say to you today, no. Categorical, clear, no. And we need to hear, you need to hear, and I need to be reminded this morning that God is good all the time. The Apostle John writes that God is love. And what we read in Scripture at the very beginning, if you remember, is God is creating. He creates the light and the sky and the earth and everything in it, the plants and the animals. And each time he creates, he looks at it and he says, it is good. It is good. It is good. It is good. And when he's finished creating, he stands back and he looks at it and he says, it is very good. And it is very good. Because the Creator is good. And so all that he has created is intended for good. But something has gone wrong, hasn't it? I mean, you and I can see that. We see it in our lives. We see it in the world around us. Something has gone wrong. And it's sin. It's a turning away from God's goodness. And what happens when we turn away from God's goodness is that we turn away from his love and his grace and his protection and mercy. And the darkness can creep in. And that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. You remember God cried out, where are you? He didn't know where Adam and Eve were. Where are you? And from that day onwards, there have been two forces at work in our world. There is good that comes from God, and there is evil that comes from the devil. And so I want to remind you this morning that disease and war and hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness and all manner of other things that we see in this world that we struggle with are not good. They're not from God. In fact, many of them have an evil origin. And so we've got to be really clear in our heads and our hearts about who is God and what comes from God and what is not from God. And so we read in the New Testament, don't we, that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control and goodness. Goodness. Because a good God brings good things. Goodness flows from who he is. And if you're still here this morning and you're struggling with this idea that actually maybe God just is not happy with me. Maybe I've done something wrong. Maybe I'm on the naughty step with God and he doesn't like who I am or what I've done. Then I want you to have a read, not necessarily now, but have a read of Luke 13. And at the beginning of Luke 13, Jesus says really clearly that actually there is no automatic connection between sin and suffering. If human disasters happen, it's not that, you know, in Japan, it's not today that God is saying, you know, they have done something wrong. That is not how God operates. He is a good God, and his creation is good. Now, there are times when you and I will wander from God, and we all do at times. But it's not that when we do that God is punishing us. It's just that, you know, I think of my three children, our three children. When they wander from us and we're walking through central Reading and we're trying to protect them and guard them and keep them, they may get into trouble if they walk away from us. So when you and I walk away from God, turn from him, we're turning away from his goodness. We're turning away from his love and his protection and his grace over our lives. And the amazing thing is that the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is not that we get what we deserve. It is the exact opposite. We get what we don't deserve. That actually Jesus on the cross has taken what we deserve, and we get what we don't deserve. We get love and grace and forgiveness in our lives. God is good. Now, even when we're close to God, there are times when things are really tough. I am not here to preach the prosperity gospel and tell you, turn to God and everything will be sorted in your life and you will become wealthy, because that's just not true. And I think about probably the hardest time I've had since I've been in Reading, vicar of Greyfriars, was, and some of you know this story, was Gemma Thomas's death. Gemma was a close friend of ours, and I always said when we arrived in Reading that coming to Reading, sort of the icing on the cake was that Gemma Thomas, who was an amazingly godly woman, was here. And my wife was really close friends with her. Gemma really was one of those people who just radiated the love of Jesus. Because in her, I saw love and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control. And Gemma, as many of you know, was the one who had the vision for the refugee project that many of you are now part of, that you're involved in. This was her heart. She stood alongside people that others would struggle to love. And yet, within 3 days, she was diagnosed with leukemia, acute myeloid leukemia, and died. And so I just really want to echo what you said, Leslie. You know, only by the grace of God are you and I here today. I say this in love. Make the most of every day. Treasure every day. Be thankful to God for every day. Because none of us know what tomorrow brings. Gemma was living her life happily, normally I would say, and within 3 days died. And now I don't know why sometimes God answers prayers and sometimes doesn't. I've prayed for people in the past for healing and they've been healed and they have amazing testimonies of God's goodness in their lives. But on that day, a number of us were praying over Gemma for 12 hours. She wasn't healed in the way that we were asking God to heal her. She is now with the Lord forever. But what I do know is these words of Jesus that we've just heard read. God causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And it seems to me that what Jesus is saying there is good and bad things happen to good and bad people. But God is good. And if you hear nothing else today, just remember that God is good. His goodness was there right at the beginning of Scripture. And if you go right to the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, his goodness is there. And so what we read is that sickness and tears and disease and suffering and death will be no more when Jesus returns. And his goodness will be demonstrated to everyone forever. And so his goodness is there at the beginning, his goodness there is there at the end. And in between, we see these glimmers of God's goodness. I think we've seen some of those in the last 10 days, of God's people gathering together and worshipping. Some of you have just testified to the ways that God is good, the ways that he's at work in your lives and the lives of those around you. As we live our lives now, in between the kingdom of God being brought in and the kingdom of God being made complete, you and I experience suffering. And we live with this tension of having to walk through difficult times. And I want to read these words to you from the book of James. And they're words that you and I will wrestle with, because sometimes God asks us to bear with suffering. And James writes this: the testing of faith produces endurance. Now, there'll be times in your life and my life where we say, thank you, God. I actually don't need that test right now. Do you know what? I feel like I have had enough tests. I've had enough enduring. Can I please have a break? But I would say to you, hand on heart, having just been vulnerable about some of the more significant stuff I've been through in my life, that the times when I have grown in my faith are not when I'm standing on top of the mountain punching the air. It's when I'm in the valley. It's when I'm up against it and I'm clinging on to Jesus' coattail with everything I've got, on my knees praying, desperately leaning into God. And he grows me. Doesn't mean that the suffering is from God. It's not that God is giving me those bad things in my life. But he works through them. And he grows us. And he draws us closer to him. And I want us to remember again this morning this. It did not look good on the cross. Every time you stare at this, wherever it is, just remember, it did not look good on the cross. You know, it didn't look good for the disciples. They were thinking, this isn't the plan. It didn't look good for Jesus' mother, who was on her knees weeping, watching her son nailed to a cross, taking his final breath. And what looked like a humiliation, an apparent defeat, turned out to be the greatest victory that humanity has ever known. That is our God. That is a good God. Our God is a God of resurrection. He's a God of turnaround. He's a God who breaks through and takes the mess we experience in our lives and forms and shapes something beautiful out of it. I was reminding people recently, even think of I need to get my scriptures right here in Corinthians. Yes, I do mean that. the Apostle Paul writes about you and I of having treasure in jars of clay. I feel like a jar of clay. I don't know about you, but I feel like that. You know, there's holes in me, there's faults, there's problems, there's weaknesses, there's suffering. But it is through that imperfect jar of clay that the light of Jesus shines out the brightest. That is you and that is me as we trust in God and live our lives. And that same resurrection power that turned this humiliating apparent defeat into victory, that same resurrection power is available for you today by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is what God does. That's his business. Read through, you know, when we were chatting, the three of us, we were talking about how do we know God is good. I was saying it's the promises of God in Scripture. Just read through it. God turns around. He resurrects. He breaks through. And it's a massive encouragement and reminder to us in our lives. I'm almost finished now. Just before I finish, I did love getting together for One Family Sunday. I did enjoy Titch being sponged, thank you. Reminding me of what our Lord went through in a sort of slightly minor form. But one thing that did amuse me as well was, for those of you who were there, we were talking about unity. Joy and I were having a sort of conversation at the front about unity. And I was sort of trying to explain that one of the tensions we have to live with in the Christian faith is joy and suffering. And someone came up to me after the service and they sort of tilted their head and sort of looked really compassionately at me and said, David, I was just really sorry to hear that Joy Atkins is suffering. Is there anything we can do to help her? Now, Joy may be suffering. Well, she probably is because she has to work with me. But I wasn't talking about Joy Atkins and suffering. I was talking about joy and suffering. And part of what we see here on the cross is joy and suffering. Suffering comes first. It's death and resurrection. Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And we're all in different ways on that path of suffering and joy, death and resurrection. So I want to say to you today, those of you who are up against it, which I imagine is most of you, most of us in different ways, I want to encourage you to have hope. And here's why. Because the day is coming when our suffering and our pain and our tears and our sadness will be gone forever. You and I are going to live in eternity with Jesus as we trust in him. Now you may be sat here thinking, have you any idea how many years I've been battling or how many more years I've got to come? But I think we would learn from the more mature members amongst us that our lives will go like that. And in the blink of an eye, you and I will be standing before the Lord. And so someone once said, think of your life as 10 years for each one. I'm 45. This person said to me, David, you know, that's like 4.5 days. At best, you may make it to 7 or 8 days. But our lives are short. It's your words, Leslie, of treasure each day. Have perspective of what it means to live a life of eternity with Jesus. But also have hope because our God is not a distant God. He's a God who loves you and who draws near. Emmanuel, God with you. He is with you. Jesus understands suffering. He gets it. He's been there. And he's come out the other end. He was resurrected and sits at the right hand of the Father. He understands your pain and your difficulty and your struggles. Allow him into your life. Let him in. Let the light of Jesus in. And I just want very briefly to mention three practical ways, because you're all reading a book at the moment, is that right, as part of this journey? Or some of you are. I've read one chapter of it. How to be reminded of God's goodness. The first thing is this: keep telling each other stories of why God is good. Just keep doing it. we all need to be reminded. The reason I started with these stories is to tell myself and you that God is good, even in the midst of trouble. God is good. The second thing is, go out there into creation. What God created is good. I'm sure for all of us in different ways, whether it's going up a mountain, standing on a beach, going to the woods, we have a place that is close to us in here, where we feel close to God. We see his creation. It reminds us that God is good. And related to that, my place is a little beach in Dorset, and I go there regularly. And it's wild in the winter, and it's beautiful and still in the summer. But actually, whatever the time of year it is, I love going there because there's no one else. There's no distractions. It's just me and God. And in that place, I'm reminded of his goodness. And I hear from him. And it's good. The church warden over there would tell you he checks I've been there regularly because it sets my compass north again. It fixes my eyes on Jesus. I'm reminded of God's goodness. And in that place, I'm reminded of these words, and this is where I'm going to stop, and we're going to have a time of quiet, that the Lord says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. So in the melee of life, find places and times to be still. Be reminded that of who God is, of his goodness for you. So I'm going to suggest we just do that for a couple of minutes now. Just be still. Listen to God. Be still and know that he is God.